I know you are incredibly interested in my culinary. What's the word I'm looking for?
Food. Culinary.
Culinary. Is that the word?
Yes.
Culinary.
Yes.
I know you're extremely interested in my culinary adventures, but remember how last Friday, Pinto, I was talking about trying to make sausage gravy and have it over biscuits?
Yeah.
And all that stuff?
Yep.
I finally got around to trying it last night because I was having a busy weekend, so I didn't get her done over the weekend. I got her done last night because I had a few minutes.
How was it?
Tasted really good, delicious to eat, maybe didn't look so good. Kind of looked odd.
Well, you're looking for like a gray gravy, aren't you?
I posted a picture of it on Facebook and people were kind of ripping me for, oh, it looks brown. Oh, it looks off color. And it did kind of look a little bit goofy, but it was fine.
It's kind of how'd it taste?
It was great. It was delicious.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, it was just fantastic. And again, I know everybody's incredibly interested in my cooking adventures.
Edge of our seats.
But it was really easy to make. Simple. I mean, I thought it was going to be like this big involved process. It was easy. So I'm totally into the whole sausage and gravy and biscuits and gravy thing now. You'll be getting lots of biscuits and gravy, Pintos. I have left.
Is that my Christmas present?
I'll give you a big vat of sausage gravy.
I'm so excited.
We may need to start like a deal on the show where people give me ideas to cook things or something. Like Mike's big adventure, cooking adventure. And we can do that. We could sponsor it. We could have Creative Kitchen or something sponsored at the mall. They could have me cooking things.
I don't know if they'd want your name attached with their product. Especially if you have the gravy coming out off-colored.
That's a very good point. Folks, welcome to the second hour of the Mike McFeely Show on the Mighty 790 KFGO this afternoon. Joel Heitkamp touched on it some on his program this morning, but there was a report written by the Associated Press, the world's largest news-gathering organization, that talked about the growth in corn acreage in this country, thanks in part to the ethanol mandate, and also, by the way, thanks in part to many different things, but in part because of that, and they tied it into the loss of prairies and the loss of, CRP and the loss of many different things. And the conclusion that the article and others in the article reached was that the ethanol mandate and green energy is really destroying parts of our environment that we can't afford to destroy. Those in the corn industry, those in the agribusiness industry have taken great exception to the article written by the Associated Press by writers Chet Brokaw and Jack Gillum. And one of those people is State Senator Jason Frerichs, a politician and, more importantly, a farmer and a corn farmer from northeastern South Dakota. Senator Frerichs, welcome to the Mike McFeely Show. How are you?
Good afternoon, Mike. Well, I just have to interject and say that that gravy kind of looks like calf scours, if you don't mind me mentioning. But
that's, you can mention whatever you want to interject. I know it tasted darn good, so that's all
you
that
bet.
I
that's
know
what's
about
important.
It.
Important. But hey, you know, it's a great day in the neighborhood. We got just excellent balmy weather, and you know, I was driving along the west side of Lake Travers for hauling corn back to the farm from up by Rossville, and there was just this aroma in the air. And I couldn't quite figure out what it was, but when I looked off to the west side, in here there was a field of prevent plant ground, and they had planted turnips and radish in there, and been frozen, and then now everything's kind of warming up. It just kind of has a little bit of a ripe smell.
So you're combining some corn today, and you're moving some corn around, or what?
That's correct. We're combining corn, and it's going well.
Okay, so that's a perfect segue for our discussion. I know, judging by some tweets and judging by a text message exchange we had earlier, Senator Frerichs, that you were no fan of the Associated Press article that is headlined in many publications, Prairies Vanish in the U.S. Push for Green Energy. And in this article, printed all over the world and all over the United States, it essentially is blaming corn for some environmental disasters that are happening or an oncoming one. And I want to get your take on that, Senator Frerichs. What do you think about the article?
Well, most definitely it had me very much alarmed, because if you look around, we have seen obviously the very much boom of success out there, having a corn industry that, not only in the genetic side of things, but just being able to match the extreme weather conditions. In the end, we still are able to produce a very quality product. And, you know, just take, for example, if we had to, and they have record corn crop coming out this year throughout the whole United States. So, you know, when they mentioned $7 corn in the article, you know, we've pretty much gone away from that. And I know you and I have talked about that before, but when you have that record corn crop, what are you going to do with those bushels and the prime opportunity we have with this very vibrant ethanol industry? And in South Dakota is 1 billion gallons a year that's produced. We just, in our case, we haul it 25 miles down the road and we're at 100 million gallons a year ethanol plant. And that's refined into a product that can be used locally or sent all around the world and still have a feed byproduct. So, you know, I can understand where we have seen CRP, the Conservation Reserve Program, those acres have come out in large amounts, and they have been planted to corn. And in many cases, they produce very good corn because that ground has sat idle for 10, 20, 30 years. And so it very much is able to produce a high-quality product. But where the exception that I come with this article is to say that we're breaking up massive amounts of this native prairie and planting corn, and that it's all subsidized, that, you know, there's just automatically going to be a quick buck being made, is hard to believe, because for one, if it's native prairie, there's no yields established that can be based on for that crop insurance. So they're going to have a tough time being able to cash flow anything from that standpoint. And then at the same time, it's still, if it's native prairie, it probably is a little bit of a challenge to farm. And so, you know, sure, there has been native prairie that's been broken up and farmed for various cases, but the large majority that we're seeing where this corn is planted, it's on that CRP ground. But when it comes back to these acres, it's many producers are deciding to go corn on corn. They, you know, they had some issues with soybeans, and because we have genetics that match the disease tolerance, we can go 2-3. I've seen some people go 4 or 5 years of corn on corn. So we got to look at put all the cards on the table and look at the reality. And the reality is we have many bushels of corn to move, and our infrastructure just simply would not be able to handle that without refining it to a very concentrated fashion in the form of ethanol.
I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs from the Associated Press article, and then we'll discuss more about it. I just want to inform people as to what exactly we're talking about a little bit more, but let me read some here. It says, across the Dakotas and Nebraska, more than 1 million acres of the Great Plains are giving way to cornfields as farmers transform the wild expanse that once served as the backdrop for American pioneers. This expansion of the Corn Belt is fueled in part by America's green energy policy, which requires oil companies to blend millions of gallons of corn ethanol into their gasoline. In 2010, fuel became the number one use for corn in America, a title it held in 2011 and 2012 and narrowly lost this year. That keeps prices high. It goes on to say, what the green energy program has made profitable, however, is far from green. A policy intended to reduce global warming is encouraging a farming practice that could actually worsen it. That's because plowing into untouched grassland releases carbon dioxide that has been naturally locked into the soil. It also increases erosion and requires farmers to use fertilizers and other industrial chemicals, in turn, that destroys native plants and wipes out wildlife habitats. Do you agree with that, or do you believe that the ethanol policy in this country has been damaging to the environment or could be damaging and contributing to climate change, Senator Frerichs?
Well, it's a very broad accusation, and I completely disagree with the angle that the writers of this AP article choose to take, because, again, we have to take a step back. If that corn, and it is being planted in those areas where, you know, it is, you know, touchy as far as what's going to turn out for a product. If it's planted there, sure, there may be some tillage right away, but after that, no-till farming is the standard. As you reach the Missouri River and work your way west, there are a few that choose to till, but they don't have much for a corn crop in the end because they just lose so much moisture. And so when you have those no-till farming practices, that captures that carbon. And in fact, that's why we had a very vibrant carbon capture program for a little while there, when carbon was actually worth something on the Chicago Climate Exchange Network or trading floor. Mm-hmm. You know, they were awarding farmers in these areas, just where we're at right now in the listening audience, for no-till practices and anything that they can do to keep from disturbing that ground. And so no-till has proven that it works very well, and even if it's strip tillage or anything, it all comes down to conserving that moisture. And so, you know, at the same time, you know, we still have to remember that, many of us, and myself included, do enjoy having grasslands out there, not only for grazing purposes for our cattle, but also for wildlife production and anything else. But by putting corn into the mix, you still have a crop that, its roots are going down very deep. It still is a monocot, much like grass. Now, I realize there's different, farming practices that come into play as far as how that's managed, but it still is. I mean, you know, we even saw last year when it got very dry, other people would dig down, and probably even this year too, where you'd find corn roots going 7-8 feet down into the ground just to grab those nutrients, make use of them before they even leach further and end up into some sort of water supply or anything else. So, it's easy for these riders to take a one-sided approach, but you get out on the ground, if they get some dirt under their fingers, and I know one of the riders, he's out there in Pier, and I work with him quite regularly on various issues. But unfortunately, I need to educate him even more and actually get him right out onto a farm and be able to see the true effects of how we can not only produce energy, have feed, at the same time recover some of that oil that the corn produces and use that for all the various purposes. It's a very universal product. And at the same time, I do realize that we need to keep in mind diversity. And so, corn works well in our system, but it's not the only avenue, along with ethanol. It's not the only ticket to the so-called green future, but it is definitely a strong gateway to even more efficient practices. It is not inefficient, though, and I will debate anybody when it comes to the water usage, the heat that it takes. You have to take that all the way back to growing that plant and what we are able to maximize and use right out here on the land, and compare that to oil or gas production.
All right, Senator Frerichs, I need to run because I'm up against a break. Thank you very much. And I'm not disagreeing with anything you said. You know this far more than I do. And there's no question that, some land has come out of CRP for various reasons. It's not some great grand plot to ruin America. It's just, economics and policy and everything else has caused some acres to come out of CRP, and they've been planted in corn. And as I said before you came on, I don't blame farmers for planting corn or any other crop that they can make money off of. If you own thousands of acres of land, or your family does, I, as an outdoorsman, as somebody who is simply a consumer of agricultural products, I don't expect you to take a loss in your business so that I can shoot some pheasants. If it's up to people like me, as I said, to get policy changed or have better policy to allow farmers options if they want to keep land in CRP, to allow them to do that. But I'm not going to say they have to. That's your choice to plant corn or anything else and make money off it. That's capitalism, right?
Absolutely. It comes down to how we cash flow every acre of ground. It has to pay for itself, essentially, and make it work in our balance sheets as producers. But at the same time, many of us enjoy a healthy balance. And if CRP is a broken program that not only is underfunded, but has been pushed to the wayside and doesn't work, let's be creative, because it doesn't do any good to just keep casting the blame on farmers out there for all these other problems when it comes down to it. We're there to help solve these problems, but we realize it takes everyone.
I got you. Senator Frerichs, thank you. Great job. Good to talk to you again.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Good to hear from you.
Yep, you bet. Jason Frerichs out of Wilmot, South Dakota. Yes, he's a state senator.